بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على ظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إقرار به وتوحيده وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما مزيدا أما بعد فحياكم الله my brothers and my sisters that are there in India. كيف حالكم? How are you, my brothers and my sisters? Alhamdulillah, what a joy to be asked to participate with our brothers and sisters regarding a reminder. And also the topic that we are talking about is from the greatest of the reminders. And indeed, the affair of Tawheed, the call to Tawheed, and also to stay away from Shirk, was the core message and the sending of all of the prophets. So Alhamdulillah, I pray that you are well, my brothers and my sisters. Alhamdulillah, in a region that subhanAllah, there is much shirk, but still we have, Alhamdulillah, from the blessing of Allah, individuals that are coming together to spread the word, Alhamdulillah, of truth. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the brothers, Deen Sahih, those who are facilitated to do online lectures, to do these online lecture series of going through Kitab al-Tawheed and taking chapters from it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you immensely. And also we extend, alhamdulillah, our salams and our greetings to all of you that may be listening online as well, and those of you that have gathered there today in India as well. May Allah bless you. May Allah keep you firm upon a path pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen. So inshallah, today I've been asked, the brothers have asked, for me to talk regarding the chapter of Bab Ma Ja'a Fi Hamayat al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Janab al-Tawheed wa saddihi kulli tariq yuwassilu ila shirk. So I've been asked today to talk regarding the chapter that which comes by way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, blocking all avenues, blocking any path that leads to shirk, to polytheism. So bi'idhnillah, we will inshallah elaborate and talk about this bi'idhnillah. No, my brothers and sisters, Allah yafadakum, and Allah azza wa jal qal, لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين. Inshallah, regarding the structure of today's lesson, بإذن الله, will be bullet points. Bullet points, أهم أشياء, taken from the words of the scholars and the مفسرون regarding this janib, this topic about how the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was cautious and took a lot of effort in preventing his ummah into falling into the greatest sin and calling his ummah to the greatest deed, which is the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah the Most High, he says that indeed Allah conferred a great favor, that Allah blessed his slaves with a great favor by sending them a messenger from amongst themselves, reciting unto them his verses. And with this verses, with this wahi, yuzakihim, it purifies them. Wa yu'allimuhumul kitab, and he taught them the book, wal hikmah. The book, as the ulama, they have said, it is the Quran, and the hikmah is translated as wisdom, but here is referring to the sunnah of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَإِن كَانُوا مِن قَبْلْ لَفِي ظَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. And indeed, prior to this, the prior to the coming of the Messenger, the prior of the bringing the book, prior of purifying them and teaching them, the state that they were in, that Allah azza wa jal describes them, was manifest error. From this manifest error and the misguidance they were upon, As you know, my brothers and my sisters, that Mecca was a place of shirk. There was over 360 idols there in Mecca. This is what the state the people were in. And Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions that they were in manifest error. And then the sending of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was as a mercy and to give them guidance. وقال الله عز وجل لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رعوف الرحيم. Indeed, there has come to you a messenger from amongst yourselves. From amongst yourselves, meaning from them. And the way that this messenger was described, that عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ, it grieves him. It grieves him that his ummah, his people, should receive any form of harm or difficulty. And also he was described to be concerned and caring for the believers. And Allah Azza wa Jalla describes him as Ra'ufur Rahim, describes him to be full of piety and mercy. Al-Imam Sa'di, Rahimullah Ta'ala, he states in his tafsir regarding this verse, يخبر تعالى عباده على سبيل الامتنان أنه بعث رسولا عظيما من جنسهم وبلغتهم ويشق عليه جدا ما يشق عليهم ويؤذيه ما يؤذيهم وشديد الحرص على هدايتهم وحصول النفع لهم. الإمام ساحدي رحمه الله تعالى, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs his slaves, and the manner that he is informing them is a manner of imtinan, that letting these ibad know that it's a blessing. It is a blessing that Allah Azza wa Jal has granted upon them by sending them a tremendous a tremendous prophet, a great prophet, min jinsihim, from amongst themselves, wa bilughatihim, a prophet that spoke in their language. And Imam Sa'di says that he found great discomfort in what caused his people discomfort. So whatever harm they had, it harms him what harms them. And he was an individual that was extremely ardent and eager for the guidance of his people and for them to bring about nafa, for khair and good to come about for them. So this is how the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was. And as a muqaddama and as a beginning, we know anfa wa a'zam naf'ihim da'watihim ila tawheed wa ijtinabihim ash-shirk, from the most beneficial and from the greatest bounties upon them. And what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to benefit for them, the greatest benefit that they had is the call of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam to tawheed, calling them to tawheed and prohibiting them, forbidding them to fall into anything of shirk and polytheism. وَسَدَّ كُلُّ وَسَائِلْ الْمُوَسَعِلَيْهِ, and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam would cut off all avenues, would block all avenues that would lead into, or coming closer, that would lead into shirk. So bi-idhnillah, I want to give you some examples of how the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam would take the wiqaya, would take the himaya, preventing, taking caution to block and to stop. We'll just have some water, my brothers. 1 minute. Just bear with me, my brothers and sisters. I just have something in my throat so I can take a drink. Allah yirda'akum. Allah yirda' alaykum. Barakallahu feekum. And to continue, I pray, subhanAllah, that you are well. I'm not sure how many of you are all gathered in India at the moment, but may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless your gathering. Ameen. Also, to continue then, inshallah, I want to mention some examples of how the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam took precaution. Number one, نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الغلو في مدحه بما قد يقضي إلى عبادته. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade to go into exaggeration regarding praising him. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade this, fearing and forbade the type of praising that is an excess that even possibly falls into worship, meaning that type of praise is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. رواه الإمام بخاري من حديث عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تطروني كما أطرت النصارى ابن مريم فإنما أنا عبده فقولوا عبد الله ورسوله. First example is what Al-Imam Bukhari mentions from the hadith of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, where he states that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not go into exaggeration in me. Do not go into excessive exaggeration in regards to him. Just as how the Christians went into excessive exaggeration regarding the son of Mary, meaning Isa ben Maryam, Jesus. And then he clarified and said, فَإِنَّمَا أَنَا أَبْدُ, I am his slave. So therefore say, the slave of Allah and the messenger of Allah, his messenger. So here, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is informing us what has happened with regarding his brother Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam, that he came to call to Allah. And this is why you find many times when Isa has a slub, Ubudullah, worship your Lord, Rabbi wa Rabbukum. That's a common thing that Jesus, Isa ben Maryam would say, worship your Lord, my Lord and your Lord. And that was his call. But after him, they fell into exaggeration, claiming all sorts of nonsense and falsehood, that he is the son of Allah, then making him into Allah himself, then into the Trinity. So all of these things, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is warning his ummah that this started with exaggeration. This started the means with going into exaggeration and going into extremes. Therefore, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned his ummah not to follow the Christians in the same way. Another example we have, rawahu al-imam Abu Dawood, من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تجعلوا بيوتكم قبورا ولا تجعلوا قبري عيدا وصلوا علي فإن صلاتكم تبلغني حيث كنتم. In this hadith where Imam Abu Dawood mentions the hadith of Abu Huraira رضي الله تعالى عنه, where he said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, do not make your homes like graveyards, and do not make my grave a place of worship and celebration. And then at the end of the hadith, he says, then send your salutations upon me, for indeed your salutations reach me wherever you are. Here, the ulama have said, firstly, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, do not make your homes like graveyards. What the intent of that was is that your homes are a place where you can carry out worship. And the worship is referred to in the house, the ulama say, is to the nawafil, is to the nawafil prayers, the sunnah prayers. The sunnah and the nawafil prayers, the messenger would pray in his home. Also, the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam would stand in the night prayer. So there was much Quran recited. So things like reciting the Quran, the dhikr of Allah azza wa jal, standing in prayer, the nawafil prayers, the non-obligatory prayers, these should be done in the home. And the reason that the graveyard was mentioned, that don't make your homes like graveyards, because that's exactly what you're not supposed to do by the grave. You're not supposed to do these things. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, don't make your homes like graveyards, because at the graveyard you're not supposed to do that. And that's why the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, don't make my grave a place of gathering, a place of worship, a place of celebration. because this is what the Christians, they would do with which they thought were the graves of their prophets. But indeed, there is no ithbat for that. But this is what they do. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is referring that his grave is known and would be known. So do not gather it. It's not a place of celebration. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would forbid this. And then listen to the end part. What is the connection? There's all three sentences here are connected. Afa'ida, my brothers and my sisters. Number one, the house is mentioned because in the house you are supposed to do the dhikr of Allah and the nawafil prayers. And the graveyard is mentioned that it's not supposed to. So it's the opposite. In the home, you are supposed to bring it alive and make it not like a graveyard. And at the graveyard, the opposite. You don't do anything by way of worship. And then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentioned in the last part, صَلُّوا عَلَيَّ فَإِنَّ صَلَاتُكُمْ تَبْلُغْنِي حَيْثُ كُنْتُمْ. Send your salutations upon me, meaning it's not required. It's not required to come to the grave. It's not a must. For verily, your salutations reach me everywhere, anywhere you are in the world. This is مِنْ خَصَائِصِ Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is from the special qualities of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah granted him that he any salutation that is given upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it will reach him anywhere you are in the world. But the wisdom why the Messenger mentioned that is mukhafata. Mukhafatan ala madha, fearing that the people would only come to give salutations and salams by his grave, and that's where there'll be mass gatherings. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informing them that I have been blessed, that alhamdulillah your salutations will reach me anyway. Alhamdulillah, very beautiful fa'ida. So the reason why the Messenger mentioned that and the special khasa'is that he was blessed with is in order so people don't gather by his grave and they are excessive. So subhanallah, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came as a mercy to mankind. وَنَاهَا عَنِبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ عَنِ الْغُلُوْ فِي تَعْذِيمِ الْقُبُورِ بِالْبِنَاءِ عَلَيْهَا. Also, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned not to go into excessive building on the shrines of the grave, making the graves places that almost become like shrines, high buildings. رواه مسلم من حديث جابر بن عبد الله الأنصاري رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يجصص القبر وأن يقعد عليه وأن يبنى عليه. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم prohibited that you plaster the graves and you sit on them and you erect them and make them into big buildings. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned against this. Why? Because this is ta'zim. This is honorating the grave, making something where you hold to be special. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned that because this is what the people of the book have done. Hatta naha ila mawti, hatta mawtihi or hatta mamati, up until his death. Hatta qabla yamut bi khams, even before his death, bilkhams, some say 5 days, some say closer than that, there is a hadith that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would constantly, even in his deathbed, so ponder upon that. When a person's on his deathbed, subhanallah, a lot of the times they reflect regarding themselves. They reflect regarding their own wealth. What's going to happen about their wealth? What's going to happen about his family? These are the things that they think about. They're worried for themselves as well regarding the intiqal, the moving into the next abode, which is the barzakh. But the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was still concerned for his ummah and for not for them to fall into shirk, to warn against shirk and to call to tawheed, warn from anything, the means that would lead into shirk. This hadith, rawahu al-imam Muslim, من حديث جندب ابن عبد الله رضي الله تعالى عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول أي قبل يموت ألا وإن من كان قبلكم كانوا يتخذون قبور الأنبيائهم وصالحيهم مساجدا ألا فلا تتخذوا القبور مساجدا إني أنهاكم عن ذلك. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, his companion says, I heard the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, and this was before his death. right a few days before his death. He said, "Verily, those before you will take the graves of their prophets and their righteous ones, a place of worship, a place of gathering, and a place of celebration." Allah فَلَا تَتَّخِذُ الْقُبُورَ مَسَاجِدًا. So therefore you, my ummah, do not do the same. Do not take the places of graves. Do not take those graves as a place of worship. And then to seal and to emphasize at after saying that, once again he said, إِنِّي أَنْهَاكُمْ عَنْ ذَلِكَ. Verily, I forbid you from doing so. So this is how you can see how our Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took great measures. Even on his deathbed, he was still taking measures for this ummah not to fall anywhere into shirk. From those examples that we find that our Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would warn or cut off any turuq, any paths that will lead, that could possibly lead into this great sin of shirk. نهى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الصلاة عند طلوع الشمس وعند غروبها. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, as a precaution, he did not allow and he forbade that individuals should pray when the sun is rising and when the sun is setting. So the time when the sun rises and the time when he sets, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned his ummah, did not allow his ummah to pray. Bearing in mind, salah is a great act of worship. Babe, after the shahadatain, is from the greatest forms of worship. Even that is not allowed at certain times. And the hadith that follows now explains why. Rawahu al-imam Abu Dawood min hadithi Amr ibn Abasa as-Sulumi رضي الله تعالى عن قال بالنسبة نهان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال صلي صلاة الصبح ثم أكسر عن الصلاة. This companion says that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, pray subh, pray the fajr, then refrain from praying. Don't pray after that. After you've prayed, do not pray after that. حتى تطلع الشمس. وحتى ترفع فإنها تطلع بين القرنين الشيطان وحينئذ يسجد لها الكفار. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, after Fajr prayer, don't pray. طيب, refrain from praying up until the sun has risen and it is high. For Alhamdulillah, why? Because then he mentioned, for indeed the sun rises between the two horns of the shaitan. And this is why even when the sun is setting, then the sun sets between the two horns of the shaitan. And then the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained, وَحِينَ إِذٍ يَسْجُدُ لَهَا الْقُفَّارِ. That is the time that the disbelievers, they prostrate. Those fire worshippers, those sun worshippers, they are the ones that prostrate at this time. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even salah and even prostration is from the most humble things that a slave can do. Even that, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not allow that to be done at times where the kuffar are prostrated. Simply so the people may not think that the Muslims, they are also prostrating to their gods or to their false deities. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade that, forbade anything that will lead to that. And this shows you shiddat al-hamayat al-rasul, shows you subhanallah how cautious the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, even forbidding things that are from the utmost greatest acts of worship, praying, and from being the most humble acts of worship, prostration, where the slave is the closest to his Lord. Even then, because it's done at a time where the disbelievers are doing it and they're doing it to worship other than Allah, the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم then did not want his ummah resembling them. So subhanallah, even forbade, and there's a hukum now that we don't pray our salah at the time when the sun is rising and at the time when the sun is setting. Also, from the examples as well, that how, to what extent our Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went, even in the usage of the Arabic language. Even the Arabic language, certain words, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told his companions not to utilize them, because in it, it carries the meaning, or one can possibly understand that you're holding someone equal to Allah. Let me give you an example of this. Naha an taswiyat al-alfaz allati tu'addi ila isa'at dhan billah. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade the usage of words that can possibly carry the meaning of equal, that may lead for a person to have bad thoughts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. جاء في الحديث أن يهوديا أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. We have an authentic hadith where a Jewish man came to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقال إنكم تشركون وتقولون ما شاء الله وشئت وتقولون والكعبة. Listen to this tremendous hadith. A Jewish man comes to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. And then he addresses our Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and says, indeed, you perform shirk, you lot, meaning you Muslims. And look at this. The reason that this Jewish man is saying this, number one, is because he knows the call of the prophets. He knows the call of the prophets is against shirk. And he knows that the call of the prophets is to the oneness of Allah azza wa jal. So it's almost coming and a way of mocking the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims, and saying, well, it's almost bi ma'na, what it means is your whole call is to tawheed. Your whole call is to prohibit falling into shirk, but yet you do it. So this is shows you that they knew the call of the prophets in detail, and also they were well versed with the Arabic language, and they understood certain terminologies. And this is why you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبَنَاءَهُمْ. They, the Jews, the people of the scriptures, the book, they know the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like they know their own sons. Meaning, they know that he is the man of truth. They know his call in detail. So much so that the similitude that was given is that it's like their own sons. A mother and father, look how they know their child. A mother and father knows a child inside out. Just by looking at the child, they'll understand certain things. So this is the similitude that the Messenger Allah gives, that how they know. And this is a great proof of it. So then, after hearing this, the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then understood that, subhanAllah, he is referring to the language. He is referring to certain things on the language. Because MashaAllah, you lot say that if Allah wills, wa shi'ta. When you use the waw, then it carries the meaning, and you. It carries and is understood as equal, that the two are equal. If Allah wills and you will. So it's almost like you're setting them equal, because in the Arabic language, this waw, then you feed a taswiyah. It carries the meaning of things being equal. Then he gave the second example. You said Al-Ka'ba. So there used to be those individuals that would swear upon the Ka'ba. They'll say Wal-Ka'ba. And the Ka'ba is a created thing. So this Jewish man knew that you cannot swear and take a halaf by that which is created, only by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So look how much Dikka, how precise they knew the religion. Yet, Allahu Musta'an, they refused to believe and enter into the fold of Islam. But yet, mentioning this to the Messenger. So then, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَأَمَرَ النَّبِيُّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا أَرَادُوا أَن يَحْلِفُوا أَن يَقُولُوا رَبِّ الْكَعْبَةِ. So then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then told his companions, told his ummah, that if one of you then wishes to swear regarding the Kaaba, don't say Kaaba on its own, but rather say Rabbi al-Ka'ba, the Lord of the Ka'ba, the Lord of the Ka'ba. So this way, subhanAllah, and then regarding the second example, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then told him, say, Ma sha Allah, whatever Allah wills, thumma shitta, then you. So if they're referring to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they should say that Allah has willed, then you. Because in the Arabic language, لأن الواو قد تقتضي التسوية. طيب؟ وَأَمَّا ثُمَّ يَقْتَذِي التَّرْتِيبِ. In the Arabic language, in the linguistics of the Arabic language, when you have waw, it carries like meaning. Like مثلاً, if you say, for example, مثلاً, Muhammad وَعَلِي قَوِيَّان. مثلاً, you say Muhammad and Ali, they are strong. So it shows you that they are equal in their strength. Together, both of them are strong. But when you use thumma, when you say مثلاً Muhammad huwa qawi, thumma Ali. So if you say مثلاً Muhammad, he is strong, thumma Ali, then this thumma understands that he is less than Muhammad. It is tartib. So it changes the meaning. It doesn't mean equal, but rather it means Allah first, مثلاً شاء, Allah has willed, then you. So it's Allah first. So this shows you, subhanAllah, even in the Arabic language, even in the Arabic language, even in the wording, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was very, very cautious. Very, very cautious, as even in the language, not to say that which, subhanAllah, could fall into the ma'na of shirk, subhanAllah. And this is why our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma min khayrin illa wa qad dala an nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ummatuhu alayhi wa ma min sharrin illa fahadharaha min. Our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as all prophets, there was nothing that was good for this ummah except that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guided his ummah to that. And anything which was evil, which was harmful, then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned against that. Subhanallah. So dinuna dinul wiqaya. So our religion is a religion of wiqaya. Prevention, caution, shielding, preventing things that they are, that before they occur. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions in the Quran, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا. Do not come near zina. The mufassirun say, "Ay hatta al-muqaddimat," even those means that lead to zina, you're not allowed to come close to them. This is why Al-Imam Sa'di, rahimullah ta'ala, he mentions in the tafsir regarding this verse, "An-nahi an qurbanihi ablagh min an-nahi anil mujarrad fi'lihi." لأن ذلك يشمل الناحي عن الجميع مقدماته ودواعي. Beautiful wording, subhanAllah. Imam Sa'di, he says that the prohibition of qurban, the prohibition of not coming near the means, not even coming anywhere near as the possible things that can lead up to an action, is far greater and more comprehensive then warning about the action itself. So, مثلاً, for example, zina, طيب, that is haram, that action there. But when Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentions, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا, then Allah Azza wa Jal is then also not just warning against the action of zina, then Allah Azza wa Jal is warning his slaves that anything, the muqaddamat, the bidayat, the things that start by looking, by free mixing, by being in places, by being alone with someone who is not a mahram for you, مثلاً. All of these things, these are the muqaddamat. So when Allah Azza wa Jalla means, لا تقربوا, this is what Imam Sa'di, he mentions. When Allah Azza wa Jalla is warning against the means, that is even far greater than a warning against the action itself, because it cuts off everything. It cuts off, it's a warning against the action itself, and it's a warning Likewise, for anything that will lead up to that. So subhanAllah, the nahi and the forbidding, it extends. It extends even before the actual action of what leads up to it. And this is why subhanAllah, our religion, they mentioned, is a religion of wiqaya. This is why you commonly hear al-wiqayatu khayru min al-ilaj. There's some forms of poetry when they say, the Arab, they say, al-wiqaya, the prevention is better than the cure. And this is how the principle that we have in our religion. Our religion, subhanAllah, from the perfect hikmah and the wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jal, warns about things, even the wasail, the means that lead to a particular thing. So subhanAllah, if you notice, subhanAllah, a shirk, قَدْ يَكُونُ مِنَ الْعُمُورِ الَّتِي لَا تَدْعُوهَا إِلَيْهَا النَّفُوسِ كَثِيرًا. Remember, shirk is a sin that it's very rare that the nafs really wants to call to that, because the fitrah of a person, the natural inclined disposition is upon the fitrah. So you find that the nafs, the soul, doesn't really lean to want to call to shirk, just as it does with, you know, following its desires when it comes to fornication, مثلاً, or when it comes to money, or when it comes to position. You find that the nafs kind of calls to that. But the nafs, the soul, he doesn't really have the urge to want to call to shirk. And the reason that is mentioned, however, لَكِنَّهُ أَعْظَمَ الظُّلْمِ, however, shirk is from the greatest of oppressions and sin. So this is why, because the soul doesn't really call to that, فَالشَّيْطَانِ يَحْرُسُ أَنْ يُوصَلَ إِبْنِ عَادَمْ إِلَى الشِّرْكِ بِكُلِّ وَسِيلَةٍ. And this is why you find that the shaitan is so ardent and so harees, so diligent to find any means possible for the son of Adam to fall into shirk. Because he knows the son of Adam doesn't really lean to that. So he's even more staunch, more active, tries from all means, try to fool Bani Adam in all angles so they may fall into that. Because he knows that is the greatest sin. And he wants destruction for Bani Adam. وَلَكِنْ فَحَمَاهُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمُ. So therefore, knowing this, and knowing what the shaitan wants, and what is the most beloved sin to the shaitan, and what he wants Bani Adam, this is why our messenger Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hamahu, came and prevented, hamayata tama, complete prevention, came as a block, took out any avenues that would lead to that. حتى لا يدخل الإنسان فيه من حيث لا يشعر. He did everything what he could do so mankind doesn't fall into shirk. Fall into shirk, and perhaps he doesn't even know that he is falling into shirk. This is why the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanAllah, we have to constantly send salutations upon our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Be thankful servants to Allah Azza wa Jal for sending the Messenger who came, who showed us all good. He left nothing unexplained. Anything that was good, he advised. And anything which was harmful, subhanAllah, he warned. And from the greatest of harms is that as an abd falls into shirk and kufr. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was extremely diligent to prevent that. And subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, a lovely reminder for myself, as I'm actually, subhanAllah, reading the words of the ulama, the reminder. And this is why we will never ever get tired of teaching Tawheed. We will never ever get tired of explaining regarding the evils of shirk, because that's the core message of the messengers. And yet you have so many people that claim that all you do is talk about Tawheed, all you do is talk about Manhaj, we have got other problems across the world. These are the things. If you don't have Tawheed and you're falling into shirk, you'll never be a qawm, a nation that will be successful. So this is why this is required for us to have success and the aid of Allah Azza wa Jal, and to give us strength. So may Allah Azza wa Jal guide us, keep us firm, give us strength. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make his slaves, make this ummah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon Tawheed and far away from shirk. And then bi-idhnillah, Allah Azza wa Jalla will bless us and give us aid. So alhamdulillah, this nation will be a nation of strength and upon guidance. Ameen. May Allah grant us that. Ameen. Wa sallallahu wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Hayakumullah, my brothers and my sisters there in India, and those who are listening online, remain firm. I know it's not an easy task, for indeed you are surrounded by so much difficulties, so much shirk, so much misguidance. But lakin as our messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Fasbiru hatta talqawni ala al-hawd. Remain patient, my ummah, for all what you face by way of difficulties, up until you meet me by the lake. The lake of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that will be there before entering into Jannah. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us from those who will meet the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at his lake. Ameen. Fahayakumullah. So minni alan, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.